Support for WPR comes from the Stevens Point area, offering a variety of getaway experiences, itineraries and ideas for beer lovers, foodies, outdoor recreation fans, and more are at StevensPointArea.com. Support for WPR comes from the Madison Museum of Contemporary Art, an independent organization dedicated to creating experiences that educate, reflect, and inspire. More is at mmoca.org.
Women's sports don't get the news, the coverage in the media that men's sports do. I think we would probably all agree that that's probably true intuitively. But why is that? We're going to talk about that this hour with Fred Bowen, the author of 20 sports books for kids. His latest, Double Reverse, will be published this month. He also writes a weekly kids sports column for the Washington Post, where his article, Should Women's Sports Get More TV Time, appeared. Fred Bowen, welcome to the Joy Cardine program.
Hi, John. How you doing?
You know, you said that in your article that you've been wondering why men's sports are so much more popular than women's sports. So you've been wondering, what conclusions did you reach? Why are men's sports so much more popular?
Well, I think there's a bunch of reasons, John. Some that I went into in the article. First of all, of course, some of the major men's leagues have been around for a long time. Major League Baseball started in 1876. The NFL started in 1920. The NBA, 1946. So they've been around for a long time, whereas women's sports are relatively a more recent phenomenon. But still, you know, Title IX passed more than 40 years ago, and while there have been, I mean, literally millions of girls and young women have been playing sports, it really hasn't translated into many popular team sports for women. There are some leagues, and there are some there's some activity, but there really hasn't been like a breakthrough sport in which you know, women sort of are almost the equal of men for interest, TV time, things like that.
Well, there is a there's a women's NBA. There's there was, I believe, there was an attempt at a professional softball league that came and went pretty quickly. What about women's? Is there a women's professional soccer league? I guess I have to say I don't even know.
Right. Well, that's one of the problems. There is actually a women's professional soccer league. There, I think. I'd have to look it up. I think there are about a dozen teams in it. It is, I believe, the third attempt at a women's professional soccer league, and it's, you know, the other two failed. The WNBA, the Women's National Basketball Association, is a league which has been around since 1997. I think it's sort of found a niche. However, it's attendance last year was about 7,500, which has dropped from 10,000-12,000 at its height, you know, a few years into the league. So there isn't really, I'd be hard-pressed to find a sport other than maybe women's tennis. And as I said in the article, when the Olympics come around, gymnastics, women's gymnastics, and women's figure skating are popular. But other than that, there really isn't anything that can equal, you know, the men's leagues, or seems to even be coming close to that.
Well, Brad on Facebook he makes a comment that I think maybe expresses a common sentiment. Brad writes, "It's a business. They're not as good, meaning women, as men at most sports. Not as athletic. Men are bigger, stronger, faster, and people want to see the best."
Well, you know, it's funny. And I've gotten that reaction from several people. And specifically in the article, I said, I'm not trying to say that women athletes are the best. I think that at the highest levels of athletics, the men clearly are better. The best men are clearly better than the best women. However, many sports at a college, high school, minor league level for men are very popular, and those people are clearly not the best. We like to see, you know, an even competition, something that's exciting, something that's involving, and we don't care in those situations whether or not the people are the absolute best. If we only wanted to see the absolute best, people wouldn't watch anything but, let's say, NBA basketball or Major League Baseball. But clearly that's not the case. And so I'm just curious why the women haven't gotten into, women's sports haven't gotten into some of those niches where we seem to plug high school athletics, college athletics, minor league sports, mm-hmm. other things where the athletes are clearly not the best available athletes.
Mm-hmm. There's if you look at cable television, particularly the sports-oriented channels, ESPN, for example, carries a lot of women's college sports, women's basketball, softball, lacrosse, soccer, you name it. They're all over it, and some of the other sports networks are as well. There's too many to even list here. And so there is that. I don't know what the ratings are for it, but if you're looking for it, you can find it on television. Probably not on the radio, but you can find it on television.
Well, I think that that's a function more of the cable channels trying to fill up time. The ratings on most of those shows are very poor. In a previous article I had done a couple of years ago, there was a study at USC, University of Southern California, that found that in 3 weeks of watching ESPN SportsCenter, which is the major sports show on ESPN, and three Los Angeles TV stations over a period of like 3 to 6 weeks, only about 2% of their coverage was for women's sports. And this was actually down from previous years. Hmm. So I agree with you, John, that if you really search it out, and at certain times, for example, the women's NCAA basketball tournament is covered, and also the softball tournament is covered. But generally, there is, in fact, they found in that article, basketball, women's basketball, which is covered quite a bit, the men get 10 times the coverage that women do. And, you know, I understand that it's a money thing. I write for the Washington Post. Believe me, you have to write about their football team, the baseball team. That's what people are interested in. I think that begs the question, though, as to, well, gee, why hasn't there been more interest if millions of particularly young women in the last 40 years have now had a sports experience and, you know, continue to have sports experiences? They don't seem to be watching as much.
Mm-hmm. 800-642-1234, 800-642-1234, the number to call to join the program. Do you watch women's sports other than figure skating and gymnastics? Do you think women's sports in general receives less attention than men's sports? And, what do you think about that and why? 800-642-1234, 800-642-1234. talk@WPR.org is the email address. The Joy Cardine Show is the Facebook page. At Joy Cardine Show is the Twitter handle. Lots of ways to get in touch as we continue our discussion with Fred Bowen about the fact that women's sports don't get the attention that men's sports do. We're trying to get to some maybe some answers as to why that is. It's a discussion that I think should be pretty interesting, and I hope you'll join us at 800-642-1234. I'm John Munson in for Joy Cardine. You're listening to the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Women's sports, they don't get the attention, the money, or the TV coverage of men's sports. Why is that? That's what we're talking about this hour with Fred Bowen, author of 20 sports books for kids. His latest book, Double Reverse, will be published later this month. He also writes a weekly kids sports column for the Washington Post. recently wrote an article, Should Women's Sports Get More TV Time?, which was the genesis for this particular hour of programming on the Ideas Network. We have callers at 800-642-1234. Let's go to the phones. We'll talk first to Stephen in Madison. Stephen, good morning.
Good morning. Thanks for taking my call. I just wanted to make a short comment about, I think that your guest is missing the point about people wanting to see the best of the best. It's not necessarily about watching the absolute best. It's about seeing the most entertaining and most skilled players at the level you're watching them at. So if you want to watch high school basketball, you want to watch the best high school basketball players, and those are the boys' varsity basketball players. And if you want to watch college, you're going to watch the best college players, and that's the men's college basketball. If you get lower than high school, because if you get into Pee Wee, the girls sometimes are better because they've developed faster than smaller boys. But I think that nobody really watches Pee Wee football unless they've got kids in Pee Wee football. So I'm not sure. It's not like there's crowds of people tuning in to watch Pee Wee football on TV anyway. So I'm not sure if that even has a part in it. But high school and up, it's not about the absolute best. It's about the best in the particular skill level group that they happen to be in, not just the absolute best. And it's about entertainment. If you watch, it's more entertaining because they're more skillful. So,
all right, Stephen, we get the point. Thank you very much. Fred Bowen, what about it?
Well, actually, it's interesting that the point has been brought up before, and I agree that people like to watch the best in the group that they are watching. But why not watch the best when the group are women? In other words, these are the best women high school players around, or these are the best college women college players, or the best women professionals. I think I understand Steve's point that you do like to watch the best in the category that you're watching, but clearly, for example, I'm a golfer. The women golfers are terrific. They're much better than 99% of the guys who are out on the golf course. People obviously prefer to watch the men more than the women. And yes, I agree that it's entertainment. It's interesting that we're not as entertained by women athletes. And I think that's really the question.
I guess the question I have, is it fair to compare them?
Well, I think that it's kind of funny. I don't think on the athletic level it is fair to compare men to women. Men have certain advantages that women do not have. And like I said, I think that at the very best, highest levels, the men, I think, in almost every instance are, quote, better than the women. However, I think part of it is, and maybe I'll bring this up, is I think that for a long time, I think the culture is more comfortable with the image of the man as the athlete and not so much as the woman as the athlete. I think that's changing. It's changed over the last 40 years, certainly, because of Title IX and more girls playing sports. But still, I think that there's a lingering, oh, well, you know, I'm not interested in women's sports. The other thing, too, is I think that people who are not brought up on women's sports, and I include myself, tend just not to have gotten in the habit of watching women's sports. Maybe it'll change as a younger generation comes along.
800-642-1234, 800-642-1234. Well, as you pointed out earlier, the men's professional sports, football, baseball, have been around for a long time. Maybe we need another generation to go by, and the attraction of women's sports will become more evident to people. It may just be a matter of time, and I hate to make a cliche, but perhaps only time will tell. But for now, I think our caller's point, though, for him, there's less entertainment value in watching women's sports than men, and that certainly seems to be reflected in TV ratings when they do get on television.
Yeah, I think there's no doubt about that, and that the television ratings for almost everything is better for men. But I brought up, in the article, several instances of, in the last few years, just thrilling women's games. There was a World Cup soccer game between U.S. and Brazil that was among the best soccer games I've ever seen. Actually, I watched the college recently, a college field hockey game that went into overtime. That was a terrific game. The French Open final between Sharapova and Halep was a better match than most of the men's matches. But we don't seem to we just don't seem to watch as often. And I think that there are a whole bunch of different reasons for them. And some of, like I said, I think some people are just simply not in the habit of doing it, particularly men sports fans. And that's mostly men watch sports.
Okay, well, that brings up another point. Who's watching? I mean, do women watch women's sports? Do we have that kind of demographic information?
Well, I think, and I don't have as much information on that, I think that men watch most of the sports. Certainly, I think we could, there's more than one story of a spouse complaining about her husband watching too much sports on television. I think that in some ways women are participating in sports a lot more. I think the statistics are something like between 3rd and 12th grade, I think 8 million girls are playing sports, 12 million boys. But girls don't seem to have the sports watching gene, which actually I think is probably good. They're out doing, let's say, they're out maybe doing their homework as opposed to watching games on TV. I mean, girls are doing much better in school than boys. So, you have, but it's, it is, I was hoping from the, with the article to start a sort of a discussion as we're having today.
Well, we're having a discussion. Let's invite some more people to join us. We'll go to Jesse in Madison next. Jesse, good morning.
Hey, good morning. Thanks for taking my call. Actually, I had a comment before I listened to the last piece, but my first comment was about I love the WNBA. However, it's shown during the warmer months. And here in Wisconsin, I don't want to sit inside and watch, I don't care what the sport is, in the summer months because we don't have that many warm summer months. So I would love to see the WNBA played during the winter. I'd watch it all the time. For me, it's about watching people that are good at what they do. It doesn't matter if they're men or women. Preferably the less cocky, the better for me. But, if I watch tennis sometimes, once again, it's in the summer, though. So the other comment was just after what you were talking about is there's not really a female player that kind of dominates, too. I think, like Tiger Woods, we get attached to him. We look for him. There's not really one female player, in my mind anyway, that we can get attached to that continually is good, that develops a following.
Well, I understand, Jesse, what you're saying about the short Wisconsin winters. I live outside of Washington.
No, the winters are long. The summers are short.
The summers are short. Excuse me. But the actually, I think, a couple of years ago, Annika Sorenstam, Lorena Ochoa, they were actually very dominant golfers. But they got some interest. And it was interesting, actually, probably the most interest in women's golf that was generated was when Sorenstam played in a men's tournament. She played a few years ago in, a tournament down in Texas.
And Michelle Wee also played in a men's tournament. That got quite a bit of coverage as well.
Yes, and eventually I think she gave up on that, which I think was wise for her career, and she just won the U.S. Open, so I think she's recovered from that. But it was more interest was generated by those really kind of stunts.
But they were stunts. That's how they were perceived. So let's take a quick call before we get to the news. We've only got about a minute here. Dave in Janesville. Dave, good morning.
Good morning. I want the commentator to address the issue of sex appeal to the particularly skating and tennis aspect of it, and that most sports watchers are men. That might be a component in their popularity.
Dave, thanks for the call. What about it? Women's tennis, figure skating, gymnastics, sexier than what the men are doing?
Well, actually, I think there is an element to that, and all you have to do is look at the Forbes 100 richest athletes, and there are three women on that list, and the first one is Maria Sharapova, who basically is a tennis player who looks like a model. And she gets a tremendous amount of attention for that. So I think, yes, there is an element of that, particularly in tennis and sometimes in golf or in sports like figure skating.
Mm-hmm. All right, we're talking about why it is that women's sports get less coverage than men's sports on the Ideas Network. Why do you think that's true? Let us know at 800-642-1234. 800-642-1234. Talk at WPR.org, at Joy Cardine Show on Twitter. Look for the Joy Cardine Show on Facebook as well. I'm John Munson. It's the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Women's sports tend to receive less coverage than men's sports, and that begs the question, why? We're talking about that this morning. I'm John Munson in for Joy Cardine. My guest is Fred Bowen, whose article in the Washington Post, "Should Women's Sports Get More TV Time?" was the genesis for our discussion today. 800-642-1234, 800-642-1234, the number to call to join the program. Lots of other ways to get in touch, Twitter, Facebook, or email. They all work, too, just so you get involved here. A couple of things as we go along. We've had a number of comments. I'm going to try and compress some of these because they're similar. One of our, the person who's directing this program this morning, Christy Taylor, is involved in roller derby, which has both men's and women's teams. Common comparison made between the two is the women's game is more elegant and smart, while the men's game is just faster and stronger, but there's less teamwork in the process, and maybe audiences just prefer the drama of mano-a-mano competition. Somebody else wrote in on Facebook. I'm trying to link these two things. Gail writes on Facebook, "I cringe every time someone says men are better, faster, stronger than women, and that makes them more interesting to watch. Just another example of systemic sexism." And Sheep says, "Look into roller derby as an example of how women can play a sport better than men." Is there, I guess where I'm going with this, is there just do we have a cultural bias against women's sports in this country?
Well, John, I didn't think I was going to be talking about roller derby.
See, you never know what you're going to get here on Wisconsin Public Radio.
Right, exactly. That would be about the last place I think I'd be about talking about roller derby. I think there is somewhat of a cultural bias against women's sports. I don't think that the society feels completely comfortable sometimes with the image of a female athlete in the same way that they feel comfortable with the athlete, the image of men's athletes. I think that's really hard to sort of get you. I sense it. I don't have a lot of statistics or studies on it, but that I know of. They're probably out there, but I think it is probably there. I think there is the image of, the high school athlete. When you think of the high school hero, you kind of think of a boy as opposed to a girl. So, yes, I think that they're, the person who was writing in is onto something there.
Well, and maybe part of that, at least at the high school level, is that we're probably into what? Only about the second generation of female high school athletes. I mean, when I went to high school, there were no girls' sports. They had kind of club sports, and it just wasn't considered appropriate for women to compete athletically. Outside of the Olympics and some rather specialized things. But I mean, if it was sports in high school, when I was in high school, now this is the late 60s, there just weren't sports for the girls that were organized with scholastic competition between schools and so forth. And so it's really only been since probably what, the mid 70s, that we've really had the emergence of girls competitions in some of the traditional sports like basketball and so forth. So we're really looking at basically the second generation of women who've grown up with any kind of real athletic tradition. So, maybe that's part of what we're dealing with here.
Yeah, I think there's no doubt about that. I mean, Title IX passed in 1972. That has been one of the biggest and one of the best changes in my lifetime. The statistics are that in 1972, when it passed, there were fewer than 300,000 girls playing high school sports, and now there's close to 4 million. You know, so there's been a complete sea change. But yes, I think it may take time for it to sort of reach into people, and particularly men, watching women's sports more. A lot of men were brought up watching men's sports, and that's kind of what they feel comfortable with.
Well, we had. I'm glad you brought that up, because we had a caller who couldn't hang on but left a comment. He said, men can vicariously identify with other men, and that's why they watch men's sports. Do we project ourselves onto the screen, scoring that touchdown, making that slam dunk, or getting that hat trick?
You know, I think that's an excellent point. I think that I write kids' sports books. I've written 20 of them. So I've been in the children's literature business for a long time. And it's interesting that studies show that boy or girls will read a book with a boy on the cover, but boys are much less likely to read a book that has a girl on the cover. In other words, and I think that's what you're talking about with grown-up boys, is that they don't identify with women athletes as much as they identify with male athletes. And I hadn't really thought of that, but that may be a very big kind of piece of the puzzle. And, of course, that's going to be something very difficult to overcome.
Well, it isn't this related to how we view gender roles? We have a comment from Joan on Facebook who writes, look to this society's ideal of women's roles in this culture. It isn't that of strong or dominant. And athletic competitions are about, I mean, they're kind of like mini wars. You conquer your opponent. I mean, if you look at the language we use to write about sports, it's very military. We talk about, one team slaughtered the other, or, they crushed their opponents, that kind of thing. You want to dominate. All of those things seem really masculine in terms of the way we have traditionally defined gender roles. And I'm not saying that's right or wrong. I'm just saying that it is what it is. And we don't see women in that role. Could that be part of what we're trying to get at here?
Right. I think that that's what I was saying, that we have a cultural bias against seeing, we don't feel comfortable with women as athletes because it's not consistent with what our images of women in the culture are. Your talk about, the language of sports brings up the wonderful routine by George Carlin.
Oh, absolutely.
Instead of, football and baseball. And football is all penetrating into enemy territory, throwing the bomb, things like that. And it's interesting, actually, that football has become such a popular sport. And I think that probably Wisconsin has a couple of Green Bay Packer fans there.
Well, the interesting thing, at least in our household, my wife is much more of an avid sports watcher than I am. I haven't watched the Super Bowl, I think, since, I want to say, 1977. And I don't watch a lot of professional football. I'll watch professional golf. I'll watch hockey. I prefer to listen to sports on the radio. That's just kind of how I grew up. Let's go back. Let's talk a little bit about the audience for sports, because we talked about the fact that even women don't watch women's sports. Will we see more women watching sports as we have more women who have grown up being involved in athletics and playing basketball and softball and soccer and other sports? Maybe that's what it's going to take to get more women watching sports. They have to be more involved themselves.
I think that that's part of it. I think that certainly if you play a sport, you're more interested in watching it. I mean, you mentioned that you watch golf. I watch golf because I've played golf for years. It's something that I understand how difficult it is. I have an appreciation for what both the men and the women players do. So I think that that should help to some degree. But it's very interesting, actually, John, that women are big football fans. I thought I saw a statistic, it might have just been for the Washington football team, but that like 40% of the NFL fans are women. And I think part of that is that there is a lot with football, is that it's a game which happens once a week, and it's more of an event. You don't have to watch it kind of constantly. You
know, and a great excuse to drink beer.
And actually, and I think actually sort of the football, professional football, might be the holy trinity of American sports, and that's that it has beer drinking, gambling, and violence.
See? That's sort of, it's the trifecta.
They seem to be sort of a perfect storm to make it a very, very popular sport. It's interesting how... women are pro football is getting increasingly popular with women.
Hmm. And I noticed the NFL has noticed that as they're marketing clothing specifically made for women now. So
absolutely.
They're taking advantage of that niche.
The shirts, is something that is more tailored for women. And
right.
So it's a lot of interesting things are going on, in this area, and it's sometimes a little hard to put it all together, but it's an interesting discussion to have.
I'd like to get a quick call in before we have to go to a break. Maybe we'll take the answer on the other side. Let's go to Dick in La Crosse. Dick, good morning.
Good morning. I'm in my 60s now, and when my kids grew up, my son was the oldest in any sport that he participated in through a group like the YMCA or some group like that. You know, the boys' teams were sponsored, and the girls' teams had to go out and sell candles and candy and everything else to sponsor their team. And hopefully that's changed, because I kind of made us think about it back then, because I thought it was just wrong. And that's one thing I've noticed. It was quite different.
All right, Dick, thanks for the call. Fred Bowen, I'm going to ask you to hold your response to Dick's comments until after we come back from our break. We'll continue our discussion about why women's sports don't get the coverage that men's sports do. In just a moment, Fred Bowen is my guest. He wrote an article for the Washington Post titled, "Should Women's Sports Get More TV Time?" We're talking about that this morning. I'm John Munson in for Joy Cardine. You're listening to the Ideas Network. This hour, we're talking about why women's sports don't get more media time. Fred Bowen is my guest. He's the author of 20 sports books for kids, and his latest book, Double Reverse, will be published this month. He also writes a weekly kids sports column for the Washington Post, where his article, "Should Women's Sports Get More TV Time?" appeared. Well, our caller just before our break there made a point about who gets more support. In his case, his son's teams got sponsored, and he had to raise money so his daughter could play. Is that fairly common? I know my own experience was that our family had to raise money for any sport our kids played. But in his case, the girls had to raise money, and the boys' teams were sponsored.
I think, John, that a lot of those inequities have been eliminated since. Title IX. Not that there aren't some still around, but they shouldn't be. For example, in my area, they even it used to be that the girls' basketball games would take place at you know, an earlier hour, like 5 o'clock, and that the boys would get sort of the
prime time.
Prime time, right? Exactly at like 7 or 7:30. Those have been switched at times during the season, so that the you know, the girls, for example, just their families, it's more it's more convenient for them to come maybe at a later hour. A lot of those things are now sort of tales from bygone days, and my daughter, who played high school sports, sort of shakes her head like she can't believe that those things ever happened.
The bad old days.
Right, right. And I think, although I still think that what we're really talking about is that the boys' sports, sometimes even at a high school level, get a little bit more attention, bigger crowds. Again, it goes back to what I think one of the callers was, people who wrote in was talking about, and that is there's a certain... people might feel more comfortable with the image of boys as athletes as opposed to girls.
And you point out, though, in your article that when it comes to prize money in tennis, you make the point about professional tennis. I think it's also true about professional golf. And certainly players in the women's NBA don't make what the players in the men's NBA make. There's a pretty big disparity in how women are compensated at the professional level, too, isn't there?
Yeah, there is almost in all sports, and of course that goes back to, I think, an earlier caller who said, listen, this is a business. The more eyeballs you get to come to the TV, the bigger pot of money you're going to have. And the more popular a particular sport is, the bigger the salaries will be. And so, you know, we're in a market economy, and the men seem to have a much larger part of the market than women in sports.
We got an interesting email here I want to share from Randy. Randy writes, I disagree that we necessarily want to watch the best athletes. In fact, while we might respect and admire the best, it's the underdog that we love. We watch the people with whom we feel a sense of relationship, and because men are portrayed in sports much more often than women, we are more likely to develop that personal connection with male athletes. What do you think of that?
Well, I think he's on to a point. I'm assuming that Randy is a guy, and that I think that goes back to the earlier point that was made by a caller, and that was that the men can more easily identify with male athletes. And I think he's right that I think that actually what makes a lot of sports thrilling are the upsets. Are the team that isn't expected to win. I think that the first couple of rounds of the NCAA tournaments are wonderful because you will get these upsets, these completely unexpected teams.
Cinderellas.
Winning. Right, exactly.
And is it telling that the label we put on those teams is feminine? These are Cinderella teams?
Wow, that is. You know, when you said that, I thought, wow, Cinderella. You know,
yeah.
I think that that's one of the things that's interesting about this is that this discussion is that we just take it for granted. And the reason I wrote the article was, is to have my young readers maybe talk about it with their parents and maybe say, well, gee, this is the way it is, but why is it this way? And it is interesting that something like, well, the person who doesn't seem to be as good a team is called a Cinderella team.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what to make of the term Hail Mary pass, but we can talk about all these things.
Well, that's probably a religious reference. There's an interesting call here, I think, from Amy in Superior. Let's go there next. Amy, good morning.
Hello, good morning.
Yeah, go ahead.
Sure. So I want to speak once again to this idea of the market making decisions for us. We've shared a lot of stereotypes about female athletes this morning, and I'd like to share my stereotype about the male ESPN watcher. I think in many cases, that man is a high school has-been, someone who was athletic once but clearly, if he's spending hours in front of the television, he's not necessarily participating in a lot of sports right now. Now, the women that I know who excelled in sports in college are still athletes. They're participating in silent sports, and they certainly follow the teams and the sports, college teams, pro teams, if there are pro teams, in the sports in which they excelled. But they're still actively participating in silent sports right now. So I think that certainly the market is not going to, you know, work as hard to meet those needs.
Okay, we're running out of time. So male high school athletes go on to be sports fans. Girls tend to keep on being athletes. Fred Bowen, what do you think of that?
Actually, I just saw a piece in the, I think it was the New York Times, in which there was a study in which, I think they did it with college athletes, and college athletes, male, I think it was male athletes, were no more likely to be physically active after they stopped playing the sport. So I think that Amy is sort of onto something there, that sometimes I think the men, once they get away from serious competition, maybe do not continue with athletics. By the way, the one point I would like to make, and that is I am not encouraging people to sit in front of televisions and watch a lot of sports.
Thank you.
I think that actually the women may be much better served by not watching so much sports. They're, as I mentioned, they're doing much better academically than the young men, and maybe it's because they are not spending so much time in front of screens.
Hmm. Well, I prefer listening to sports on the radio myself, so I can do other stuff while I'm listening. But that is
old school.
I grew up in a radio household, and I grew up listening to the Milwaukee Braves on the radio, and now it's the Brewers and Bob Uecker and that whole thing, and that's just who I am. But I'm just another old white guy. So what do I know, right? What is it going to take to get more equality in the coverage of women's sports? What are we going to have? What kind of tsunami is going to have to sweep over us here?
Well, I think one of the things is that you know, the people who don't like the current situation are going to have to support women's sports more. They're going to have to go out to, you know, see the games. They're going to have to support the teams. They're going to have to watch the games. Because, as I was said before, the TV people, newspaper people, they react to what is popular. And so I think you really have to, if you want to change things, you really have to, in a sense, vote by buying tickets or watching the games.
Okay.
And just supporting women's sports generally.
And that's where we'll have to leave it. Fred Bowen, thank you so much for spending this hour with us.
Well, thank you, John. It's been a lot of fun.
Robin Cherry produced this hour of programming and handled on-air production. Christy Taylor was our director. Thanks to Fred Bowen for writing that article in the Washington Post and sharing some time with us. I'm John Munson in for Joy Cardine. You're listening to the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio.